contemporary topic, let's say. So it's about proactive Christian life. Actually, proactivity or proactive, this word is actually right now used a lot. Actually, if you read all sorts of personality development books, and actually I had also read once, it actually, there was one very popular book which puts being proactive as very on the top, Habits of Highly Effective People. But I think this whole thing actually has biblical origin. Actually, it was meant to be part and parcel of Christian life, actually, being proactive. So the word proactive could be best understood by looking at what it doesn't mean, which is what is passive and reactive is. So thanks. So hopefully today, after we receive God's word, we will stomp out this two aspect of passiveness and reactiveness in our lives. Actually, God intended our lives to be a proactive life. And I just took that picture because I think we are always facing this question every morning, whether we want to approach that proactively or passively. But I'm sure people in this church don't have problems there and wake up, I think, before 7:15, I guess. But yeah. So actually, in Bible, it's very clearly explained. Actually, God really intended our lives to be proactive, take possession. So I'm just going to use a few Bible verses and illustrate these points. It's actually overall, all over Bible, Jesus used a lot of parables to on this topic, as well as in Old Testament. Actually, if you click once more. Actually, this is from Old Testament, which is about passiveness. Actually, passiveness, the problem with passiveness is it leads to disobedience. There's no way you can be passive in God's kingdom. And actually, this is a very classical example. Israelites, these guys traveled 40 years to get to this destination of Canaan. And what's happening there is very interesting. If you read Joshua 18, 1 to 3, so the whole assembly of Israel is gathered, and the land is before them. And God is saying, so the country was brought under their control. That means God has given this land. It's theirs. But there were 12 tribes, as you know, in Israel. Out of them, but there were still 7 Israelite tribes who had not received their inheritance. And Joshua was quite angry. And if you look at his response, how long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that Lord, the God of your ancestor, has given you? So he's speaking very strongly against a real passive culture here, which is not taking possession of what God has given in your life. And this is, I think, doesn't belong to God's kingdom. God is wants you to be active in possessing what God has already given you through grace. So yeah, so that's, so basically passiveness, you know the Israelites' history, what happened because of this disobedience. God really sent a curse on them. So I think the passiveness is not part of God's kingdom. If you click again. And if you go to New Testament, actually there are also, Jesus is preaching. If you see, he uses a lot of parables actually on this topic, but this part is very crucial. This part is very to the point. Actually, he says here about his second coming, or nobody knows when he's going to come. So it's in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 42. And he says, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So he tells a few things in between, and that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and other will be left. Two women will be grinding with an handmill, one will be taken and other will be left. So he goes and says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So it's like if you go and look at Noah's life, I think it's a very good example of how a proactive Christian life is. He was building a ship when all others were partying, because he knew what was going to happen through God's grace. And he was not being passive, knowing that he was actively building a ship, which really saved him at the end. And I think that is kind of also, and if this is a truth, that we wouldn't know the time and hour God will come, and we are passive, it just doesn't make sense. So the only right attitude you could have is be active or proactive and be watchful about what you do and what you are doing with your time and talents. So I think proactivity is not an option. It is a requirement, in a way, if you will. So let's go forward. And after he says about this, Jesus, he talks about two parables, actually, to illustrate this. I mean, parables, the cool thing is every time you read it, there's something new popping up. Yeah. So this parable of 10 bridesmaids, he goes about to tell this parable, which is actually there are 10 bridesmaids. They are invited to a wedding party to meet the bridegroom. At those times, it was a big party, and even today, I guess. But it was a night. It was going to be in the night when they're going to meet the bridegroom, and this 10 virgins. So 5 of them really carefully prepare to meet, because they didn't know exactly. There is always delays with wedding parties. So what they did, they bought oil and they stored in reserves for their lamps, because you need lamps in the night to wait and to receive the wedding party. And there were 5 of them who thought, they didn't prepare for this. They just went there thinking, okay, we could probably borrow from the other person, or there might be a raver open until midnight and we can buy. So if you go and read the passage, actually, that's what happens. So they go to the party, they wait there, and what happens? The bridegroom comes late, and the persons who prepared with very watchfulness, they had enough oil at the end and they could stay longer. But the other 5 actually were short of oil. And then they started asking the people with oil, can you give us some? And they say, no, go and buy your own, because we won't have enough if we give it to you. And then they go and buy, but when they come back, actually the doors are closed and the bridegroom says, I don't know you. And actually, if you really see the words God uses, actually he says this 5 who prepared, actually God calls them the wise bridesmaid, and the 5 who didn't prepare, God says foolish. So I think that's also a little bit shows a proactiveness with time. So when you have time, what do you do with it? How do you prepare yourself is also very important in God's kingdom. And that he illustrates with this parable. And he goes on to say another parable, which is the parable of talents. Actually, we all know this again. It's a very popular talents or parable, sorry. And here is a master, this old guy there, and he actually gives, he wants to go on a journey, and he gives talents. So he gives, let's say, some money. So he gives 5 talents to one guy, 2 talents, and 1 talent to the other. And what happens, and he goes away and comes back, and the guy with the 5 talents, he invests, he does good business, and he makes it 10 talents, and he shows it to his master. His master is very happy, and he makes him even more, like he gives him even more responsibility. And the same thing with the 2 talents guys. He also goes out and does the same thing, and the master is happy. And the guy with 1 talent, what does he do? He hides it, and he says, God, I know you. You are a man who even harvests where you didn't sow. So I was afraid, really, to do anything with this. So actually, it was just an excuse, what he's saying, because if he really knew that about the master, he would have tried to multiply the money. So it's, again, giving excuse and being passive about your talents. So this is also not part of God's kingdom. So what do you do with your time, talent, and really proactively is very important. I should clarify at this point, I'm not talking about an attitude of do, but it's about an attitude of when you have received God's grace, God has given you areas where you can take control of. And it is to possess these land, these areas in your life, and proactively. And sin is a very good topic. When you have received God's grace, sin is under you. Yeah? And it is about our proactiveness to take it over. God has given it to you. And it is about that. Actually, if you have seen John Piper's video on Make War, it kind of illustrates this point as well. So really, to take control of it, because it doesn't have any place in your life. So any kind of passiveness or reactiveness to this in your life is really, God hates it, actually. He really hates it. So again, proactiveness is not an option. It is the way of life, what God called you for. Can you go to the next slide, please? Yeah, so there are a lot of teachings with the same concept, same idea, what God says about serving others and tree that does not bear good fruit. You can go home and take a look. I would like to read this one in Revelation 3, 15 to 16, which talks about being lukewarm. What is this? Okay, good. Ich mach das rein, okay? All right. Okay, so, can you hear me? All right. So, God says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That's pretty hard. So it's not an option, again, to be passive in your life on areas which God has set free through his grace. Actually, A lot of times we get into this thinking that grace is like, it is resting. Actually, resting is in grace is important, but it also takes action, actually, to rest when the circumstances are difficult around you. And again, if this classical song, Amazing Grace, which teaches about, I was once blind, now I see. So there's a change because of grace. I was lost, but now I'm found, yeah? And it goes on, the song, actually, to say also, through trials and temptations and tribulations I go. But this grace brought me this far, and this grace will lead me home. That means grace is an active process. You're in a journey. You're in a motion. It's not a stagnant, passive process. So it is about really taking hold of your life. And maybe today you might have some parts of your life, be it time, talents, some of the things in parables, relationships, work, whatever it is in your life you need to take control of proactively. We will have some time of prayer after the song. There'll be a song right now, what the worship team is going to sing. And after that, we are going to have some time of prayer. So let God talk to you. And if He talks to you about some area where you have not been proactive, then there'll be some leaders on the sides, and you can have prayers for yourself.
About standing in tribulations and situations and being able to rest and being able to, on the other hand, or, well, it's not on the other hand, and all the same, being proactive. And you all know the scripture from Romans 8. I'm just going to read it and not comment it, and then you can just start. Romans 8:28 and following. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.